I smacked the button that dropped the ramp on the back of the Condor. It lowered, and the atmosphere of Cassidy 3 swelled in. I led the way, with Mickey right behind me. He moved up to walk by my side as we emerged. Veronica followed. Dutch and Romeo brought up the rear. I breathed in the air of Cassidy 3, and it smelled like freshly turned soil with just a hint of a breeze off the lake we could see in the distance. Apart from the dry and jagged ridgeline to the south, the land on which the hole in the wall sat was fairly flat, with just a few stands of trees decorating the rolling hillsides covered with long waving grass. Off to the north, a herd of some kind of peaceful bovid meandered through the field, munching on the terrain. I found that oddly comforting. Looking around at the people coming off the Condor with me brought back the many-ops Romeo, Dutch, Mickey, and I had been on as ODSTs together. We'd worked side by side for years, and entered more battles than I cared to count. Veronica had been with us on a few of those, mostly the worst ones, but they'd all come out pretty well in the end, considering we were alive. Who knew what was to come, though? The hole-in-the-wall welcoming committee rolled up quickly and had the Condor surrounded in short order. More than a dozen fully armed and armored front soldiers set up in a circle, their weapons out and leveled straight at us. They closed ranks around us as we emerged from the ship. "I still think we could take them," Romeo said under his breath. "Stow that kind of talk," I said over my shoulder. "They're nervous enough as it is. We don't want to give them any sort of excuse to scratch their itchy trigger fingers." "If the bullets start flying, the mission is over," Veronica said. "By which I mean we've failed. Only fire in self-defense. Got that?" We all nodded. Even Mickey. You could sense the tension in the front soldiers. Every one of them was ready to fight. I wondered if they'd do more damage to one another than to us if they started shooting, but I had absolutely no desire to find out. They looked like most of the soldiers I'd seen fighting for the front. They didn't have uniforms, although they'd cobbled together some decent sets of armor. Still, their weapons were better suited to picking off predators poking around their herds than starting a firefight against trained soldiers. They were farmers and ranchers and miners and such, who'd probably come here to escape the people telling them what to do and how to do it. And for the most part, they lived simple, peaceful lives. We were about to ruin all that for them. And if not for the fact that they were part of a terrorist group that had done untold harm over the last few decades, I might have figured out a way to feel bad for them. Some of them had probably been pirates, but that had been a while back. Or so I hoped. A short, dark woman with steely hair and a pistol on her hip rather than in her hand stepped forward, breaking ranks with the rest of the rebels. She moved with a confidence I didn't see in the others, and I instantly saw why they'd put her in charge. "Mayor Wells, I presume," I said. She nodded at me, but did not offer a hand in greeting. "Hello, Spartans," she said, as if the words tasted foul in her mouth. Veronica stepped forward. "I'm Captain Veronica Dare," she said. "Is there somewhere we can speak in private?" Behind us, I could hear the whine of hydraulics as the ramp to the Condor began to rise, cutting us off from our most direct route of escape. Veronica had planned it that way, as a means of showing that we were staying. But it still made me nervous. I gave some of the rebels closest to us an easy nod, hoping to make them feel more comfortable. I don't think it worked. "There's nothing I want to say to you that I can't say in front of my fellow citizens," Wells replied. Veronica weighed that for a moment. "All right, if that's how you want to handle this. We are your guests, and will abide by your rules." She made a point of looking at the people pointing their weapons at us. "Could you please do us the favor of having your people stand down?" At a hand signal from Wells, the rebels lowered their guns. None of them put the weapons away, though. I held my hands away from my own magnum to express the same sentiment. "Don't take this as a sign that you're welcome here," Mayor Wells warned. "We'd much rather be somewhere else," Veronica said, "but this is important and urgent." "Right," Wells said. "You want to take advantage of Cassidy 3's special properties. Most of this you may know already, but pardon a brief explanation just to fill in the gaps. An AI called Cortana has commandeered a series of Forerunner weapons known as Guardians. They are powerful machines capable of neutralizing entire worlds, shutting them down completely. She's also gathered other human-created AIs around her, promising to cure the effects of rampancy, and they have effectively set themselves up as the despotic rulers over nearly every inhabited planet. They promise peace and provisions to those who bend their knees, and the lash to those who refuse her new order. This is going on right now, across the known galaxy. That seems like a problem for the unified Earth government, Wells said. Along with all those aliens you've been fighting with. You made the AI. You let her get access to those machines, the Guardians, and now she's using them against you. Not sure how we fit into the equation, Captain. We just want to be left alone, like we always have. And that's the issue. You've managed to keep this a secret for so long that it may seem to you like they will leave you alone. But that's not the case. They'll figure out this place exists, and once they do, they'll come here and dismantle it for their own needs. Which sounds pretty much like UEG tactics to me, so what's the difference? The immediate difference, Veronica continued, is that you've lived happily here for decades, with the UNSC effectively ignoring your presence, though we knew of you all this time. You will not enjoy that luxury with Cortana. She will send a guardian here with an occupation force unlike anything the UNSC could have deployed. Your way of life here will be over, especially if you reject living under their martial law. Maybe that's something we'd like to take our chances on, Wells said. It seemed to work fine for us till now. The rebels murmured in agreement. I could sense them turning even further against us. And they'd started out suspicious and hating us, so it was quickly going from bad to worse. Veronica picked up on this as well and decided to go on the offensive. Well, it's not working for us or the rest of humanity. Like it or not, you are all citizens of the United Earth government. Wells gave Veronica a sharp look. We don't acknowledge your authority. We never have. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist. We've come here to ask for your help, as we're at the moment when humanity needs it most. If you turn your back on that request, there will be severe consequences. Wells put her hands on her hips. Is that a threat, Captain? I'm simply making an informed prediction about a series of inevitable events. If you won't work with us voluntarily, the UNSC will send someone else here to force you to see the mutual benefit of sharing your technology. And if they can't manage that, it won't be long before Cortana's forces arrive in the form of thousands of armigers, capable of razing the entire settlement to the ground. They don't know we're here, Wells said. No one does. And if I'm honest, Captain, it'll take a remarkable amount of evidence for me to believe that anyone is going to find us out here after all these years. Veronica gestured to the rest of Alpha 9. We're here. That's an issue that can be resolved in our favor, the mayor said, with more than a hint of menace. You don't have the right to treat them that way, Mickey said as he stepped forward. For a moment, I thought he was standing up for Veronica, but of course he was taking the front side. Captain, they didn't ask for this planet, their home, to become something you would have interest in. They just want to live their lives here in peace, without interference by a government that knows nothing about them. You grew up on Luna, Mickey, I said to him. I probably shouldn't have opened my mouth, but I couldn't help it. What do you know about living on a backwater planet? Are you calling us hillbillies, Spartan? Mayor Wells asked. I shrugged. I grew up on Draco 3, about as far away from Earth as you can get without giving up indoor plumbing. This guy might sympathize with you. I gestured toward Mickey. But you should know that he grew up in a highly civilized dome with artificial gravity, in what was literally the first Earth colony ever established. I gazed up at the open sky, which was a gorgeous shade of indigo. That's nothing like this. My point, Mickey said, is that people come here to get away from the troubles outside of this world, and they're not bothering anyone. You can't force this situation on them. It's not me, Veronica said. It's the situation itself that's demanding this. They're part of the galaxy, and they're part of humanity. This threat from Cortana is already theirs, whether they realize that or not. She turned back to Mayor Wells. Look, I'm sure you have a wonderful society, and that you do a fine job running it. But your time for living inside this bubble, isolated and protected from the rest of the galaxy, is over. I'm sorry about that. I truly am. Wells shook her head in disbelief and disgust. That's what the UEG and its stooges say every time they show up someplace, isn't it? I'm sorry. I wish it could be different. It's not our fault. It's for your own good. You know the one thing they've taught us? To never believe a word they say. Fine, Veronica said. I understand that. We deserve that. That's why I didn't come here empty-handed. She gestured to Mickey. We brought one of your own to help vouch for us. All eyes turned toward Mickey so fast that he actually took a step back. Hey, he said, I'm not sure I make such a good spokesperson for the UEG. I just spent the last 3 years in prison for joining the front. The mayor favored Mickey with a wide smile. We're aware of exactly who you are and what you sacrificed to stand with the front, she said. You don't need to establish your credentials with us, Mr. Crespo. The people around her nodded and grunted in Mickey's favor. All right, Mickey said, visibly struggling with the idea that what he'd done with his life actually meant something positive to anyone other than himself. I knew how he felt. I had a hard time believing that being a traitor would pay off for him in any way. But apparently, this was the right audience. They all hated me, of course, and the rest of Alpha 9. We represented everything they stood against, whether we liked it or not. To be honest, I felt like we were one word away from being gunned down, given how wired these makeshift soldiers were. To be clear, I didn't have any issue with people who wanted to be left alone. That was fine. The problem was that the front never stopped there. They didn't just hide out on remote planets and refuse to pay taxes or support the military. They actively went out of their way to destroy UEG facilities and citizens. They might have cast themselves as a crowd of isolationists who only cared about decentralized governance, but they were capable of blowing up buildings and killing civilians, too. That was where I drew the line. And that was when the UNSC would, from time to time, send me in to set things right. Mickey pointed back at the rest of us. This is Alpha 9. The team I used to work with. The team I betrayed. There were some boos over his use of that term. Maybe they thought it was too harsh. I didn't think it went far enough. I felt like joining in, but kept my mouth shut. They're some of the best soldiers the UNSC has to offer, and they were sent here in good faith to negotiate with you at tremendous personal risk. I can't tell you if you should give them what they want, Mayor, but you should at least take them seriously. This isn't some kind of distraction ploy. It isn't part of a conspiracy to destroy what you've built. They have no desire to do that at all, as far as I'm aware. This is an honest effort to work with you against a very real threat in the galaxy. A threat that will show up here at some point. Maybe sooner than later. But it's a threat that they brought to our doorstep, Mr. Crespo, Mayor Wells said. We didn't build these smart AIs that turned against them. We do things with our own sweat and blood, with our own hands. And now that these monsters they've constructed have turned against them, they want our help? No. They demand it. Wells gestured at her soldiers, and they raised their weapons once again. I'm going to do for you what the UNSC has never done for us. Give you a chance to leave before we start shooting. Chapter 14. You've got a lot of nerve, Veronica said as she stalked toward Mayor Wells, seemingly unperturbed by the number of guns pointed at her. You think just because you're in charge that everyone who comes along here has to listen to you? The mayor signaled for her people to keep their weapons cold. I did the same for Romeo and Dutch, who kept their mouths shut and their attitudes frosty, despite their natural inclinations. We'd been trained to be soldiers, not spies, and definitely not diplomats. Much as I wasn't sure what Veronica's play was here, I knew better than to try to intervene, at least until someone actually tried to hurt her. Then all bets were off. Not at all, Mayor Wells said. This is a representative democracy. I was elected to this position to stand up for the people of the Hole in the Wall, and I'm doing my job. Really? Veronica glared at the woman. I find it hard to believe anyone here would elect someone so bullheaded. Do they realize that you're going to get them all killed? That's only going to happen if we let you stay here. Hold on, Mayor. She's got a point, Mickey said. This time I was happy to see he was pointing toward Veronica. Look, I don't like this any more than you do. It's not your fault that this Cortana's forces are coming for every last one of us. But that doesn't change the fact that it's happening. And the Front's not going to be able to protect this world on its own. We'll be just fine, Wells said. That's why you're all here. Because Cortana hasn't found us yet, and maybe she never will. The best thing for us would be for you to get off our planet and leave us alone. What about the rest of the Front? Mickey said. What about all the other pockets of freedom fighters around the galaxy? Do you not give a damn about any of them? He looked out at the crowd. More people had shown up since we'd arrived, packing in behind the others, and he addressed them too. What about the rest of humanity? I'm sure some of you have families out there, people you love who live under the UEG. Don't you care about them? A number of those wielding guns refused to meet Mickey's eyes. I originally joined up with the UNSC to fight against a threat to all humanity, the Covenant. Once that fight was over, I saw how the UEG treated the colonies again, the people who just wanted to be free. That pissed me off and made me do some pretty extreme things, and I was willing to pay the price for that. Let me tell you something, though. What's coming for you right now will be far worse than the UEG could ever dream of being. It's not just that Cortana's a greater threat on her own. She also has control of a ton of Forerunner machines, some of which can shut down the power on an entire planet in the blink of an eye. Their terms are simple. Bow to them or suffer. No negotiations, no bargains, no freedoms. If you refuse, you face a penalty from which you will not recover. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd rather deal with the devil I know. He turned to Veronica and put a hand on her shoulder. To her credit, she didn't pull away. I have my differences with the UNSC, but at least they're human. You can deal with them. They see the shades of gray. By now, everyone present seemed ready to side with Mickey, including the Front's militia. Maybe he'd missed his calling. He would have made a fine politician. I'm actually not sure if I can come up with a worse insult than that. I had to give Mayor Wells credit. She knew when the wind had shifted. All right. Fine. I'm not thrilled about this. But you made your point, Mr. Crespo. She walked right up to Veronica. We'll talk. But no promises. None expected. Mayor Wells turned to address her people. Unless you're part of the security detail, you can all go back to your homes. You're welcome to stick around and listen in if you like. We don't have any secrets here. But hopefully you understand that this is where it all gets a lot less exciting. Mayor Wells gestured for us to follow her, and a couple dozen of her best armed friends came along as our escorts. They kept a respectful distance, close enough to hear us if they wanted to, but far enough that they could still blow us away if necessary. We strolled into the city proper, which looked even odder from on the surface. It turned out to have a lot more Forerunner structures in it than I had seen from the air. Most of these were low, wide buildings that I'd assumed were roads, but as we walked alongside them, I saw that they stood at least 10 meters tall and stretched on as far as I could see. Like other Forerunner structures I'd been on, they sank below the ground and almost appeared as if they had been here before there was ground, as if the soil had been installed there afterward. They also seemed to connect the three towers and radiate out from their bases in every direction. But it was hard to tell from the angle we were at. I wondered if the majority of the structures delved deeper underground than they showed above. In any case, the front had clearly been adding on to the area for decades. They'd built distinctly human homes and businesses atop the edges of the longer Forerunner buildings, which helped explain, I supposed, why I'd mistaken them for Silvery Roads. Ladders and ramps spilled off the edges of the long buildings at irregular intervals, giving people access to the grounds below and the lands beyond. The two disparate flavors of architecture clashed terribly, in a way that made me a little embarrassed for humanity. By comparison with the Forerunner structures, which had been built to last essentially forever, the prefabricated efforts of the locals looked cheap and sloppy. Of course, the rebels who lived here had only been trying to build something practical, fast and simple, while the Forerunner structures had held this site for untold millennia. When we started walking along the Forerunner building road, Mayor Wells guided us toward a set of 5-wheeled platforms, each of which was about as wide as a warthog and twice as long. She directed us to get on the one in the center, while she stepped aboard the one in the lead. Rebels piled onto the others, keeping their guns at the ready as their platforms formed a moving cordon around us. We took off at a decent speed, about as fast as I could sprint in my Mjolnir armor. They were strange-looking machines, and riding them felt more like standing atop large beasts of burden moving through primitive country than zipping along on modern wheels. We didn't need to guide the platforms at all. Wherever they were headed was entirely out of our hands, so I took the opportunity to scan our surroundings. There must have been thousands of residents in the hole in the wall. The ones who had come out to greet us represented only a fraction of the total population. Together they would have easily been able to overwhelm us, but most of them hadn't seen the need to back their fellow citizens up. It heartened me to see things like offices and restaurants and even food stalls scattered about the place. The smells of different types of cuisines fought for my attention and made me hope that we might have some time to catch a meal before we had to leave. At that point, I couldn't remember the last time I'd eaten something that didn't have UNSC stamped on the side of the container. This place seemed to have all the trappings of a normal human colony, and for a split second, I found myself wondering what it might be like to live there. "It'd be a real shame if we had to take off in a hurry," Romeo said as he ogled a pair of young women who'd stopped to stare at our procession. Dutch smacked him on the back. Under other circumstances, I might have scolded them for failing to pay attention to their surroundings, other than the pretty women, of course. But I was ready to let that slide. I'd found myself drifting, too. Ultimately, the way they were acting was so human. I thought the rebels needed to see as much of that from us right then as we could manage. We scooted along on the platforms for 20 minutes or so before the mayor called a halt at a structure that looked like an outdoor amphitheater, clearly fashioned by the Forerunners. The rebels had built several rows of seats outside of it, and most of our escorts took advantage of them. The mayor beckoned Veronica, Mickey, Romeo, Dutch, and me onto the stage.
"Makes me a little nervous to be this out in the open," Dutch said.
"This is worse than having all those guns pointed at us," Romeo said.
"Them I could all see."
Dutch scanned the buildings all around us.
"Here, I worry about the ones I can't."
The mayor waved in some people from the edge of the stage, and they brought in a table and chairs, evidently one strong enough to hold fully armored Spartans, along with refreshments and what looked like some kind of bluish tea. I drank it first, knowing that my ramped-up Spartan system would be able to handle it even if it was poisoned, and that it would identify any dangerous substances in it. Mayor Wells rolled her eyes at my cautiousness, but I wasn't about to break protocol for her. When it came up clean, I gave Veronica the go-ahead nod, and she joined me and the others. Dutch wasn't wrong. This was a strange setup. Why the stage? Why the amphitheater? Shouldn't this kind of conversation be done in some kind of conference room, or a hall dedicated to hearings and debates? Then I realized
that this structure probably was that for them. They seemed to pride themselves on transparency. Maybe this was where all of their political dialogue took place. Made me wonder if that was for the best, especially given our current predicament. So, Veronica said, about the special properties of your planet. Have you made any progress on figuring out how they work? The mayor frowned. Of course we have, Captain. It's not like we've been sitting on our hands for the past few decades. And? The mayor sipped at a glass of tea herself. I think you're under the impression that we're further down the road in this talk than we really are. Why would we share that information with you? Humanity not living under the thumb of a ruthlessly powerful threat to the rest of its existence? The mayor dismissed that with a wave of her hand. So you say. Do you know how Cassidy 3 was first discovered? We already knew, but Veronica feigned ignorance and leaned forward to listen, while the rest of us settled in. It was an accident, Wells said. A ridiculous fluke. A pirate captain was in the middle of a firefight after having tried to plunder the wrong ship, and he made an emergency slipspace jump without noting where he was going. He wound up within spitting distance of here, astronomically speaking. That's a very lucky thing, Veronica said diplomatically. That wasn't exactly the story she'd told us, but she didn't seem inclined to disabuse the mayor of her legends. Was it? Wells asked. Sometimes I'm not so sure. It's a pretty amazing place, Mayor, Mickey said. He had already finished an entire glass of tea and was filling it up again. Other elements of the front are living on dirt balls and craters, struggling to eke out an existence from mines and whatnot. This really is amazing, ma'am. Maybe too amazing. It would have been nice to wind up on a planet that no one cared about for any reason at all. Maybe we would have escaped the attention of the UNSC. Or Cortana, for longer. She looked out over the people in the stands, watching and listening. What had been a handful of spectators had somehow become a crowd. Now we have to deal with the fact that powerful people want what we have. That's an old story that rarely ends well. We're not here to take anything from you, Veronica said. We just want to know how it works. If we can figure that out, there's a chance we can replicate that effect elsewhere. Imagine if we could put it on our vessels, for instance, and keep them safe. Or use it to hide multiple planets, including other worlds the Front currently reside on. Your allies, Mayor. That might give us a fighting chance to survive this whole ordeal. And I suppose that will be good for us all in the short term. But I need to look at the long term, too. I need to do what's right for my people here. Once the UNSC has what it wants from us, will you leave us alone in this bright future that you've painted us into? Or will you come for us, the way you've done with other colonies? Veronica nodded along as Wells spoke. I would be lying to you if I said I could guarantee anything on behalf of the UEG. Administrations and policies change. So do the people in charge. I don't have any control over that. The best I can do is tell you we haven't done any of those things, and we've known about this spot since the very beginning. You've lived here in relative peace, outside of UEG governance and without interruption. That's not a promise for the future, but I don't think any kind of promise from us would be better than that track record. Nevertheless, you admitted it yourself, Captain. You can't stop your people from coming for us in the future. In fact, your very presence here now is not helping your case much. And you're making a huge mistake. Mayor Wells bristled. How's that? You're assuming there's even going to be a long term to worry about. You're assuming we're going to win. Without your help, there's no guarantee of that at all. The mayor sat back in her chair and glanced around at the people watching her. And with our help? Veronica favored her with a wry smile. There's no guarantee we'll win then either, but it's a much better shot. It's a chance, and that's better than we've got right now. More to the point, you can't hold out here forever. Well, you might be able to hide from all sorts of scans,
There are actual records of this place, and eventually Cortana will find them and track you down. And whose fault would that be? Mayor Wells said. You're really going to flaunt Oni's sloppiness with top-secret records? The fact that those records are top-secret is the only reason a guardian construct is not already knocking on your door and shutting your colony down. And what about the other front sites? They know about your place here, and some of those have already been taken. Talitza's one of them. It fell just 40 hours ago. They refused to bow to Cortana's demands, and a guardian knocked out their power grid and sent Forerunner soldiers to clear out what was left. Do you think the nav data on those ships won't eventually send them here? It's only a matter of time, Mayor. We might have weeks, maybe months. But if I were to guess, we've got days. Mayor Wells looked sick as Veronica spoke. And when Veronica had finished, the mayor swallowed hard and swore under her breath. You really do know how to put on the squeeze, don't you? Veronica held up her hands. It's not me. I didn't do this. I'd much rather be sitting on a beach somewhere, contemplating an early retirement. But that option's evaporated, and I'm doing everything I can to keep our species from extinction. That includes helping every single person in this settlement. Mayor Wells frowned, her eyes burning at Veronica in a combination of frustration and hate. I held my breath as we waited for her response, and I glanced at the others to make sure they were keeping cool. Every eye in the area was riveted on the stage, waiting to see which way the mayor might roll. God damn you, Mayor Wells said to Veronica. But all right, we're in. And I hope you all burn in hell for this. That's another long-term possibility I'd be happy to have the chance to deal with, Veronica said. She put her hand out on the table in a sign of sympathy. The mayor stared at it like she'd been presented with a dead fish. I need to know what you've discovered about the effect, Veronica said, getting right to the point. You mentioned before that your team has made some progress. We've been hampered a bit by a distinct lack of experienced researchers available for this kind of work. I understand all that, and I certainly wouldn't hold it against you, Veronica replied. Still, I'd like to know what you've managed to learn. The mayor frowned. From what we can tell, the cloaking properties of this planet are generated by the central of the three spires around which we built our settlement. She craned her neck back to gaze up at it, and the rest of us followed suit. I'd never seen anything taller than it outside of a space elevator. You couldn't spy the top of it from where we sat, and it was dizzying to try. By which I mean it's the entirety of the spire that causes the effect. It's not a visual concealment, as you can tell. Anyone orbiting overhead can see the hole in the wall. However, it somehow hides Cassidy 3 from any kind of long-range sensors that might be able to find it, both in real space and in slip space. It manages this by generating a massive shell around the entire planet, and in fact, most of the system, that's something like one of the brains or layers of slip space. It creates an extremely thin field that carries an extraordinary density, and that's what disrupts any signals that try to penetrate it. Inside it, everything's as normal as can be. We're just cut off from everything outside. Ships can fly right through the field without even feeling it. It exists out of phase with the rest of reality. A simultaneous and imperceptible layer of condensed space. But by means of a long antenna array we've installed that crosses the field, we can establish communications with the wider galaxy. We don't use that resource often, but that's how we learned of Cortana and her demands before you arrived. That's amazing, Veronica said. She almost managed to keep a note of optimism from her voice. The mayor frowned at her enthusiasm, even bridled as it was. I realize you want to be able to replicate this effect someplace else. Unfortunately, we don't think that's possible. It would require moving the entire spire to whatever you wanted to conceal, or building something identical to it in that space. Given the size and complexity of the structure, that would be physically impossible.
Veronica remained silent for several seconds as she absorbed all this.
"That is disappointing," she finally said, "but not unexpected. Despite that, I think there's reason for hope."
"I don't see how. We've been studying this for decades, and we haven't made much more progress than what I just explained to you. Even if you were able to get a team of researchers out here to tackle the problem, I can't imagine that they could figure out the principles behind this effect within any kind of time frame that's going to be helpful, given the current situation.
Fortunately, I have something better than an entire team of researchers," Veronica said. "I have a Hurricoc."
That got Mayor Wells' attention.
"A Hurricoc? So they exist after all? And you would be willing to leave it here, under our supervision?
If it would be for the benefit of everyone involved." That sent a chill right through me. The idea of leaving Virgil here to work with the front galled me to the core. Romeo and I had nearly been killed rescuing Virgil from the front on Talitza, and the idea of handing him back over to them on purpose felt revolting. This might have been a different group. The United Rebel Front wasn't a single organization so much as a loose gathering of awful people with similar aims under a larger banner. And those here on Cassidy 3 probably had nothing to do with the terrorists on Talitza. But they subscribed to the same political dogma. Leave me alone, or I'll shoot. I heard Romeo sharply suck in his breath, probably feeling every bit of trepidation I was, but I shot him a glare that shut him right up. I might not have agreed with what Veronica was proposing, but that was her play, not ours. Any dissent needed to be done in private. And maybe she had something else planned that I couldn't clearly see. Either way, she'd earned our trust, and we had to back her all the way. Wells rubbed her chin as she considered Veronica's implied offer.
"I've never even seen an engineer myself.
But from what I understand, that might make a huge difference to our work. This wouldn't be a permanent assignment, of course. Only for the duration of this project. We have a limited number of Hurricoc at our disposal, and we need to ensure that they don't wind up in the wrong hands.
I hear the Covenant used to rig them all with explosives to make sure that exact sort of thing didn't happen.
This particular Hurricoc knows that all too well." There had been 7 Hurricoc in Virgil's original group, all of whom had wound up on Earth during the Covenant invasion. The other 6 had sacrificed themselves to free Virgil from his explosive vest, so he could escape while they were in New Mombasa. "We wouldn't go to such extreme measures," Veronica said, half joking. "We would only ask that we run some kind of exchange, a way for us to guarantee that you would return the Hurricoc to us when it was time."
"That's an intriguing idea," Wells said.
"But I'm not sure that we have anything that would be as valuable as a Hurricoc. At least nothing we'd be able to surrender without harming ourselves deeply."
"We're not interested in the stick so much as the carrot," Veronica said.
"Assuming you return Virgil to us safe and sound and on time, we'd exchange him for another of our assets, one you might find valuable in a different way." She looked pointedly at Mickey. The mayor smiled at the implication.
"Whoa," Mickey said. "Wait, what?"
Romeo started laughing.
"Yeah, that makes perfect sense. It's like the front putting you down as a deposit on Virgil."
Mickey was, for once, speechless, probably appalled at his life being used as a bargaining chip between the 2 larger forces he'd been caught between.
I saw the delicious irony. He'd tried to do the same thing to me and Romeo. Karma's a harsh mistress.
I wasn't thrilled about losing Virgil, though, even with Mickey in our pocket. The Hurricoc was way more valuable than Mickey, at least to us. And I didn't relish babysitting Mickey for the rest of my days. As it turned out, Mickey decided to echo my thoughts. "I'm not exactly thrilled about the idea of rotting in a cell again while I wait for Virgil to finish his work." "That's a better shot at freedom than you had at this time yesterday," I told him.
"How about I just stay here and make this my home?" he said.
"Are you going to stop me?" I glanced around at all the locals watching us.
I didn't want to have to fight every one of them to be able to take Mickey back into custody if he tried to escape. Fortunately, I didn't have to. If they're loaning us a Hurriguk, you can stay with them, Mayor Wells said to Mickey. It won't be permanent. You have my word. She looked at Veronica as she said that last bit. Mickey sat back and crossed his arms over his chest. For a moment, he looked like he might bolt right then and there. He was vibrating, ready to explode. Then he glanced at me again, and the fight drained right out of him. He slumped back in his chair and surrendered to his fate. He shielded his eyes with a hand and said, "Fine. Just please don't put me back in a cell." I reached out and patted him on the shoulder, trying not to make it too condescending. "Fortunately for you, that decision's above my pay grade." "What's Virgil going to think about this?" Mickey asked. "You think he's going to be happy about wandering off with complete strangers?" "He doesn't care about things like that," Veronica said. "He's more interested in figuring things out than in who he's figuring them out for. And this would be a chance for him to figure out something huge, and something that could save many lives." "What about Sadie?" I asked. Veronica has a tell. A little thing she sometimes does when she's lying. As far as I know, no one else is aware of it, and I haven't shared it with anyone. For reasons both good and bad. She touches her lips with the fingertips of her right hand. It comes across as nervous, but in a situation like this, there's only one reason to be that way. When you're not telling the truth. Like right now. "Sadie will be fine with it," she said. "Where Virgil goes, she goes." Mayor Wells nodded. "All right," she said. "I'll want to take it up with my advisors to see if I'm missing any particularly important angle here. But I have to say that sounds like a workable arrangement. On a personal level, I hated the deal all the way around. The look on Mickey's face, though, almost made it worth it. He'd clearly been harboring some insane hope that he'd be able to break free of us once he was planetside. And we'd just crushed that. Please remain here and enjoy some of our hospitality. I'll confirm these plans with my advisors, and then we'll move forward," Mayor Wells said to Veronica. "I suggest you do the same with your people." As the mayor left, a team of locals arrived to resupply our food and drink. I ignored it. Hospitality with these people was a loose idea, considering they'd been all too willing to kill us earlier. But Veronica made sure to thank them for their courtesy. As she did, I turned to Mickey. "Buck, you can't make me do this," he said. "No. The front is going to do that for us. Isn't that beautiful?" "That's not fair," Mickey said, paling at the thought. "You can't just force me to fall in line." "I'm not forcing anything, Mickey," I said. "I'm laying it out for you like it is. If Veronica and the mayor make this agreement, you're going to live up to your end of it, or we're all going to have to suffer the consequences." "He'll go along with it. He cares more for the cause than his compadres," Romeo said. "He's already proved that."
"And if all goes well, eventually you'll get your freedom," Dutch said to Mickey.
"According to the UNSC, you'll officially be tagged as dead, pal. Being off the books gives a man a lot of chances." "Isn't that what the front is all about?" I asked. "Freedom?"
"Screw you guys," Mickey scowled at us. "All of you. I wish you'd just shot me back on Talitza."
"Hey, Mickey," Romeo said with a smile. "You decide to take off on us. I can still manage that for you." He had always been for the quick and permanent solution when it came to Mickey, and Mickey knew it. I watched Mickey waver back and forth. It was one thing to die for a cause. It was something else entirely to go out because you didn't want to go along with a deal that same cause had cut for you.
"Okay. You win," he finally said. "I guess I'm your walking bargaining chip."
I clapped him on the back.
"Good choice," I told him. "Not that you had one."
Chapter 15.
"I'm not going to do that," Sadie said from the Condor's Bay. No way. We'd just relayed the news to her over the comm. You're a member of the UNSC, Veronica said. I can order you to do this. I'd rather it be voluntary. I did not enlist when I signed up to work with Virgil, Sadie said defiantly. I'm an independent contractor. You don't have that kind of power over me. Given the situation we're in at the moment, I definitely do. You should read your contract more closely. Hey, wait, I said to both of them. This conversation's already taking a bad turn. Can we take another stab? I am not working with the front, Sadie said. They kidnapped me and Virgil. You haven't forgotten about that, Buck, have you? I'm not happy about it either, I replied. But it makes sense. The front gets Virgil's help on a project that we both want to see succeed. And we have a shot at developing some technology that could help us in the fight against Cortana. And all it takes is putting Virgil and me in the hands of the front. Sadie's voice dripped with bitterness. I'm sure that seems like a small sacrifice to you. But for us, that's huge. We're at war again, I told her. You don't always get to choose your friends in times like this. It's hard enough choosing your enemies. If it helps any. These people here had nothing to do with what happened on Talitza. But Mickey did. Mickey's sticking with Alpha 9 under my watch, I told her. That's also part of the deal. You have to be kidding me. Think of it as an exchange program. We're just trading you two for a little bit. Once the job is over, everyone goes back where they want to, and we all move on with our lives. Seriously? That hardly seems like a fair trade, Sadie said, especially since what I want doesn't seem to figure in the equation at all. Look, Veronica said, I don't want to force you to go along with Virgil on this mission. Either way, though, he's going, and I'd very much like you to accompany him. Sadie barked out a laugh laced with venom. You're going to force him to go? Good luck. There's no one as stubborn as that creature when he gets his tentacles in a twist. You don't think he'd want to go? Veronica said. Why don't we ask him? Forget it, Sadie said. He's busy trying to enhance Gretchen's armor. Besides, you and I both know how he'd respond. If it involves something he can fix or figure out, he's all for it. The bigger the mystery, the more it attracts him. He can't help it. He was designed that way. Too true. Using his own personality against him doesn't make it right. I'm asking you to do what's right for the UNSC, Veronica said. For humanity and for Virgil. This is important, Sadie. It could help turn the tide for us against Cortana. It could change everything. Veronica paused, but Sadie didn't respond. I wouldn't ask you to do this otherwise. And yes, you can refuse. But Virgil belongs to us, and he's still going to wind up staying here with the front. The only question is whether or not you're staying with him. Sadie remained silent. When she finally spoke, it was with pure spite. You know what? Go to hell, Veronica. She cut the comm after that. Well, that could have gone better, Mickey said. I guess you can just leave me here then. Don't be an idiot, Romeo said. You heard the captain. This is happening either way. Mickey grunted at that. You really think Virgil will go anywhere without Sadie? Then you don't know them well at all. Sadie's going with him, Veronica said as she stood up. She just needs to tell me first how horrible I am for forcing the issue. She said it with such confidence that even Mickey seemed to believe her. You really think so? He frowned. This isn't about what's right or wrong anymore, Veronica said, an edge in her voice. Cortana presents an existential threat to humanity as we know it. Virgil and Sadie are going with the front. It's better if she thinks it's her decision. But it's not. Man. Mickey put his head in his hands. I almost could have felt sorry for him, if he hadn't done it all to himself. Come on, Mickey, Dutch said. This has to be being locked up. Does it? He looked up at us with raw eyes. I'm not so sure. Look, Dutch said,
trying to sound upbeat about it. We're going to have the four of us back together. It'll be just like old times. Mickey stood up so fast he knocked his chair over behind him. It'll be nothing like old times. You get that? The old times are dead.
Hey, I was just trying to cheer you up.
Well, thanks for nothing, Dutch. He began pacing along the stage. The people we were are gone. There's no way to go back to that. No way to recapture it. The goddamn band is broken to pieces. Don't you get that?
I don't have any problem with that, Romeo said. I was doing just fine with my new unit before Buck here busted in to drag me back.
The hell you were, I said. You were about to get blown out of the top of that building. And even if you'd survived that, you would have been shaken down by a pair of grunts riding inside some walking robots. They would have had you dead to rights.
You can think that if you want to, he said with a dry chuckle. I've worked my way out of worse situations.
Well, I wasn't so fortunate, said Dutch. Lord help me. But I hated being a civilian.
What are you talking about? Romeo said. You and Gretchen are the picture of domestic bliss.
From several light years out, sure.
But let me tell you, for a while there, Gretchen and I were making each other miserable. The two of us aren't made for civilian life. We're cut from a different cloth. It was killing us to do normal jobs in normal places. That's just not us. And it was wearing on our relationship something awful. We were this close to getting a divorce when June approached us about joining the Spartans.
You're kidding, I said. Does that sound like the kind of thing I'd joke about? It takes a lot to adjust from being a hell jumper to being a road train driver. Gretchen had already been forced to make the switch because of her leg, but I hated it. Every minute I was doing it, I thought about how I should be out here rather than just moving people's stuff around. It got to the point where I took it out on Gretchen, snapping at her for nothing, arguing all the time. Honestly, if June hadn't come along, that would have been it for us. And I don't know what I'd have done after that.
I walked over and chucked Dutch on the shoulder. Glad to have you back. I noticed Veronica had gotten awfully quiet. Normally, this was the kind of thing she'd have weighed in on, chiding Dutch for giving his wife a hard time. Instead, she'd gotten up from the table and was busy studying the hole-in-the-wall skyline. She gazed around at the rest of the city, at least what we could see of it from up on that stage.
It's not such a bad place to be, as long as you can stand the people here. The Covenant never found this place, so it's intact. And as far as we can tell, Cortana doesn't know anything about it yet. In that sense, it's the safest place I can think of. For now.
Maybe we all ought to hole up here for the duration.
She smiled at me. It could take Virgil months to figure everything out, if he ever manages it. Meanwhile, we could be doing a lot of good out there.
She glanced over at Dutch and Romeo, still giving Mickey a hard time, and she rolled her eyes. Mickey looked absolutely miserable, but Dutch and Romeo were cackling loud enough that anyone in the area could hear them. Kind of warmed my heart. I heard the condor coming in before I saw it. It scuttered in from the blind side of the amphitheater and hovered overhead for a moment before it found a good place to set down.
That's odd, Veronica said in a tone that suddenly made me concerned, too. Gretchen should have said something before sweeping in like that.
Dutch had already stood up and started waving at the bird. Romeo had put a hand on Mickey's shoulder, and Mickey was shaking his head and laughing softly at something I couldn't hear over the roar of the Condor's engine. I saw a bunch of well-armed locals appear on the perimeter of the park, ready to unload into the ship should it spin up its guns. Gretchen found a spot on the far end of the park, right near but not quite in the street, and set the condor down there. Dutch ran over to greet her with a bounce in his step. The ramp came down in the back, and Virgil floated out with Sadie in his wake. Once they were clear, Dutch charged up the ramp and disappeared inside.
Something's wrong, Veronica said.
I'd long ago learned not to ignore her instincts about such things. She jumped down from the stage and walked over to meet Virgil and Sadie halfway, and I trailed after her, keeping a wary eye on all of the locals watching us.
You didn't have to come all this way to tell me to go screw myself, Veronica said to Sadie. That could have waited until later. Sadie ignored Veronica's dig. Mostly.
That could, she said. But this can't. Virgil found something, and he needs to share it with you right away.
Already? I said.
Not about this place. He discovered something unrelated and insisted we come see you right away.
What was so important? Veronica said. Sadie glanced nervously back at the ship.
Virgil noticed something in Gretchen's Mjolnir armor. More like someone. A stowaway of sorts.
She turned to Virgil.
You should tell them yourself.
The Hurrigok moved his head up and down on the end of his long, sinuous neck.
I am sorry to interrupt your conversations with the local officials, especially since Sadie has told me that they directly involve our own future assignments. But I found something secreted away in the software infrastructure of Gretchen's armor.
What? Like a rat? I said.
It is Leonidas.
My heart froze in my chest.
What? Leonidas, the AI that runs the Spartan training station.
We know who that is, Veronica said. She swallowed hard, as if having a hard time keeping down the refreshments the locals had given us. I couldn't blame her.
Smart AIs have the ability to make limited mirrors of themselves by slicing off part of their code and transferring it into alternate locations. Leonidas apparently did this and secreted a part of himself inside of Gretchen's armor.
Just Gretchen's armor? I glanced over at the Condor. Dutch had disappeared inside of the Condor, too.
He could, in theory, be inside of every suit of armor that he had access to inside the training station. That would, at the very least, include both of your friends.
We're in serious trouble, Veronica said.
What could he do inside their armor? I asked. I mean, it's not like he could just take control of them and move their bodies, right?
The Mjolnir armor is not equipped with the motivators that would be required for an AI to be able to efficiently manage that, Virgil said. However, that does not mean that such an onboard AI could not affect the armor or the individuals within it.
Can you disable this? Veronica said.
I already have. I contained and removed the AI that was inside of Gretchen's armor before we returned here. She does not know about this. I did so without informing her.
But we still need to check out Dutch.
I frowned. There's no way the AI could leap from armor to armor, right?
Not without having a chip installed in the armor. At least temporarily, Virgil said.
There is such a chip still inside Gretchen's armor, but I have isolated it so that it can no longer affect anything.
Dutch, I called out. I need to see you out here. Now!
On my way, Gunny.
This time, I let the nickname slide.
Are you sure you're ready to deal with this? Veronica said to me.
Seems like the faster the better, right? I looked to Virgil for advice. Is there any danger here? The Hurrigok raised his tentacles in what I guessed was meant to look like a shrug. He'd gotten good at nonverbal communication. I suppose spending 6 years among humans would do that to an alien, especially one as intelligent as he was.
Without the Spartan's helmet on, the most that Leonidas should be able to do is shut down Dutch's armor. Given enough time, he might be able to overload its power supply and cause it to explode, but I should be able to disable it long before that.
Should?
Once I can make contact with the armor, I will begin the process right away. Having just performed the procedure with Gretchen, I already know precisely what I need to do to make this happen. It will take only a matter of seconds.
Fair enough. Dutch trotted up to us, a wide grin on his face. I hated that I was about to shatter that good mood of his, but I didn't have much of a choice.
Virgil here just told me something disturbing about your armor. I need to have him take a look at it.
Dutch gave me a confused look and a game shrug.
Whatever you say.
This should be simple and easy. Just stand there and let Virgil work his magic.
All right.
Dutch rotated his shoulders and gave Virgil a strong nod.
Get to it.
Virgil began to run his tentacles over Dutch's armor like a doctor inspecting for signs of infection. I almost expected him to tell Dutch to turn his head and cough.
I have completed the procedure, the Huragok announced a short time later. I have isolated the AI shard and cut it off from all contact with the armor. It can no longer harm anything. Dutch arched an eyebrow at Virgil. What is he going on about? He asked me. Veronica answered. While you were at the Spartan